It is the Star Wars Report podcast, and it is a happy day. The Solo trailer's out, and we're here to talk about it. This episode's brought to you by Sperry. Get your stylish Star Wars shoes right now at starwarsreport.com/Sperry. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. So glad that you're joining us. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, whenever you're listening to this podcast. It is a solo discussion. Well, no, it's not a solo discussion, because I got these two guys with me. Let's start with the host of Geek Out Loud. It's Mr. Steve Glosson. What's going on, man?
That's me. And, Riley, I just wonder, do you even know what Happy Days is?
I mean, isn't that where the Jump the Shark reference came from?
That is right. You know that much, at least.
And the director of Solo was on it. Hey, look, it's like it all connects.
Can you name any characters from Happy Days outside of Fonzie?
Ron Howard.
No, that's not a character.
Andy Griffith. No, wait.
All right. Moving along.
Well, let's bring him in. You heard him chuckling there in the background. It's Mr. Scott Rifen, host of My Star Wars Story. What's going on, Scott?
Hi.
Hattie.
What's up?
Let's talk some Solo, man. Shall we?
Okay.
How many times have you seen the trailer, Scott? Because I know you're a broadcasting professional who was probably on the air when this thing dropped.
Yeah, it was. Unfortunately, I was at commercial break when it dropped, so I went straight and watched it. I've watched it probably one time since then. I watched it one time since then. So I've got two good looks at it. I got to queue it up.
You lost.
Yeah, I've lost. Well, I saw it. I've seen it now just as many times as I saw The Last Jedi at the theaters.
Anyway, no. All right. Well, actually, I'll tell you what. I've only seen it twice. And so I'm gonna, you know what, let's start the show. I want to take a nice listen and watch here. We'll sync it up. If you're listening at home to the podcast, we'll do a 3-2-1 go if you want to sync up. Here we go. 3-2-1 go. Some heavy metal.
I've been running scams on the street since I was 10. I was kicked out of the flight academy for having a mind of my own. Be a pilot, best in the galaxy.
Hey kid, I'm putting together a crew. You in?
That's yes.
I might be the only person. Who knows? Really are.
What's that?
Get ready.
Thought we were in trouble there for a second, but it's fine. We're fine.
Yeah. All right, Scott, what'd you think?
I enjoyed the trailer. I gotta admit that with all the press, I was kind of starting to swallow the press line on this whole thing, and was not that enthused about what was coming up, but this has really kind of kicked me into overdrive. I will say this, though. I think they were wise not to show a lot of Alden Ehrenreich last night.
Yes.
And I think they would be wise to continue to not show a lot of him during this, during the campaign leading up to the film. I think he's something that we're probably going to get a good movie, but we're going to have to kind of overlook him. Not necessarily his fault. I mean, you're talking about Phil and Harrison Ford's shoes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not reasonable to expect that of anybody.
That's the big thing. That's my biggest hang up, but, you know, I'll get to that in a second. Let me get your reaction, Steve, your first reaction to the full Solo trailer.
I think I'm right in line with Scott there. This was the third time, as you were watching it, that I've actually watched it. And there's just something about Ehrenreich's performance there when he's like, we're fine, that's fine. It's not quite Harrison Ford, which I understand it's not going to be. And
sure.
And that's not a fair thing to say. But at the same time, there needs to be something about the line delivery, you know, that's there. But it looks like a fun movie. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's going to be fun, and it looks like, you know, there may be those space tentacle hyperspace whales from Star Wars Rebels. I don't know what those things are at the end. That kind of fires me up a little bit. I do have questions about this movie and about when it takes place. So,
what are your questions?
When does it take place?
That's a good question, because I have no idea. I honestly don't know. And I don't know if that's been made official or not, but that's the other thing. I love the Millennium Falcon, like just seeing a different.
I love that it's pristine.
It's pristine. It's like it's there's no there's no jowl. There's no split. I can't think of the word. Help me, broadcaster. You're my only hope.
There's no bite out of the hamburger.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
There's no weathering.
And no weathering. There's a lot I want to talk about the design. And like my sort of initial reaction is I had very low expectations. And I've talked about this. Mm-hmm. I'm very hesitant that this was the direction to go for the next Star Wars spinoff film because of Harrison Ford. Mm-hmm. It's Harrison Ford. It's the most iconic role of Harrison Ford. Sorry, Indiana Jones. And it's one of the most iconic characters in film ever. And it's sort of the everyman glue of our favorite, you know, trilogy of Star Wars films. And that's just, that is a ballsy thing to mess with when you're wanting to tell his origin story. And I'm always a little hesitant on origin stories, too, if I'm honest.
Yeah, my hope on this is that we don't get the every single thing you know about him takes place in this one movie.
And that's the danger they're risking here. If you're showing the cool thing about all the EU references here is like, oh, it's swoop racing. Yeah. Oh, it's Kessel. Oh, it's Lando Calrissian. Oh, it's him winning the Millennium Falcon. If they show the Battle of T'Nab at some point, I'm going to be a little bit.
No, I'm going to be upset, and I'll be honest with you, I think it's going to happen anyway, but I'm going to be upset if somehow he winds up with a scar on his chin.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, that's true.
And I suspect it's going to happen, but
Will he be fighting a lion with a whip? Or?
Yeah, well, you think about the beginning of Last Crusade, and as much as I love that movie, and as much as I dearly love Jeffrey Boehm, that is one of those things where it's like, oh, he got the hat, the whip, the scar, the fear of snakes, all in one fell swoop.
One day, yeah.
And it's a little convenient, but it's kind of, I mean, the Indiana Jones movies are so kind of silly on their face that you kind of swallow it a little more.
I was going to say, that whole scene, that whole sequence is so charming.
Yeah, exactly.
What it brings to the table that you really give it a pass because of that type of storytelling. Here, though, you're talking about not a 7-8 minute setup, you know, segment to lead into the movie. You're talking about a full 2-hour film where if all these things happen, it is kind of it is a little bit convenient. The reason I ask when this happens, guys, is because, and I know that we're out of the George Lucas era of storytelling, but in Revenge of the Sith, as they're approaching the Senate building in an establishing shot, I think it's when they're landing there with Palpatine after they rescued him.
You're talking about the Falcon that does have a bite taken out of the burger.
Well, and George Lucas has said that is the Falcon. He said that that's the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, no, that's that. No, that was actually the Sundered Heart.
No. No.
No.
Sorry.
I don't understand why you say this doesn't have a bite taken out of the burger. I mean, it just looks like it's the Millennium Falcon.
No. The center's filled in. The two forks. There's something in the middle there.
Is there?
Yeah. If you jump to the end of the trailer, it is a very different, Falcon. And we've seen that that leaked in like a week or two ago on some of the early toy covers. Yeah. So, all right, here we go. From Cinema Blend, Lawrence Kasdan.
Let me ask you one real quick question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've got another variant on a TIE fighter that we've never seen before, but yet we've got, you know, now almost 40 something years of Star Wars history in universe documented on screen. Why have we not, or more than that, over 50 years of Star Wars history? Why have we only seen that TIE fighter in this trailer?
Well, again, I think that plays into when is this?
Exactly.
If this is not long after the end of the Clone Wars, you're looking at the very earliest version of the TIE fighter.
So I'd say it's here we pretty go from close to the end of the Clone Wars, because right. he's got to be 18, 19, right?
Mm-hmm. Direct
he's
from
just going to the academy. Go ahead.
Direct from Lawrence Kasdan. Again, just a quick reminder, dude. What wrote Empire wrote this film, which does actually give me a little bit more faith in it.
And Force Awakens.
He also wrote The Force Awakens.
Exactly.
And Return of the Jedi.
Fair.
Said Grand Canyon.
Said quote. Not to continue Lawrence Kasdan's filmography. This film will not be, quote, Body. Here's where he was born and here's where he was raised. I think it'll be what he was like 10 years earlier than A New Hope, maybe a little earlier. You'll get a glimpse, but Kurosawa once said that the heroes are the ones that are still changing and the villains are locked in and petrified into what they are. And Harrison embodies in The Force Awakens what someone who's still not settled in who he is. So, talking about sort of the ever-changing character of Han Solo, but also he's saying 10 years, a little more than 10 years prior to A New Hope.
This feels a little bit earlier than that.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm guessing it might span some time as well throughout the film.
But yeah. You got Solo early 30s, so, I mean, if it's, you know, if the bulk of it takes place 10 years before he's,
well, we know
22,
it,
23.
We know mm-hmm. it traverses some time because in the Super Bowl teaser, it's joking about how, you know, Imperial recruiters lie to you, which was something I saw on Twitter from Thomas Harper, who's an Army vet. And he's like, he did the screenshot of Alden Ehrenreich at the end. He's like, the face you make when you realize the recruiter lied to you. So that kind of cracked me up, but we know that. So nice. He's going to the recruiting station, and of course, in this trailer, we know he's like, "Yeah, they kicked me out of the academy because I had a mind of my own." So we know at least that it's going to kind of go through that aspect of
okay. Also, in Attack of the Clones, I'm sorry,
mm-hmm.
I'm stuck on a couple of things here.
The That's Falcon right. again.
Yeah, also in Attack of the Clones, you see two of these models.
Yes, you do.
Sitting there on a landing pad as Anakin and Padme are coming into Naboo.
Yep.
And they look like the Falcon that we know and love.
Yeah, but there's two of them, so they're not.
I understand that they're not, but I'm saying the model is there, and it's established that that's just the design of the ship, that there's nothing in yeah. the middle.
But I thought the premise was that that's where you put your cargo, that it locked
well,
in that.
Maybe that's the case. Maybe they're carrying some cargo.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, it is Kessel, so maybe they're getting you yes. know some spice from Kessel.
Some spice. Mm-hmm. On that note, guys, mm-hmm.
oh, yes.
I have to run.
I do know, I yes. Scott, thanks so much for jumping in on this on the initial part. I'm sure we'll have more thoughts from you soon, but appreciate it, man.
I'm very glad to have been invited, and I love you both, and you know that.
All
Absolutely,
right, that's
man.
Weird. See you.
All right.
Bye-bye,
Scott.
Bye.
You know, I guess I never really gave my overall reaction to it. My sort of... Because of my very low expectations, I was very impressed, Steve, and excited with pretty much everything I saw except Alden Ehrenreich, which is like an overall really good thing, because just seeing a glimpse, a lot of coats. You notice that? A lot of coats. You've got Woody Harrelson's right. trench coat. You've got Lando's fur coat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I see, here's the thing, and I don't mean to nitpick, because it's just a trailer. There's nothing, you know, this is not going to set me up for the of course I'll be in the theaters to see this movie. There are just these little things that I'm seeing that I feel like some things have gotten thrown out that make sense. For can I give you another example?
Let's hear it.
Chewie's bandolier strap.
Oh, really? From like the last shot?
Yeah, yeah. He's got the Y thing going on, you know, where it's like two coming over the shoulder, whereas in we already have it established in Revenge of the Sith that thing's just like it is in the rest of the
saga. Oh, I see. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
And so unless that's something that they've put on him, you know, to enslave him, then this is just trying to set Chewie apart from everything else without any, almost it seems, and again, I'm not trying to nip, and you're going to get a lot of hate mail because of me just pulling these little things out, I know. But it's just one of those things that I look at and I'm like, why did they have to make it different? Because I always thought there was something specific about the way that Chewie's bandolier strap was. You know, some type of Wookiee ritual origin kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, does it make sense? Like, it mattered, like it meant something to his culture. And here, it's just like, well, we're setting him apart so that people know this is Chewie from earlier. But yeah. In Revenge of the Sith, he had his regular old bandolier strap with, you know, the pouch thing.
It was the traditional strap. I mean, I'm okay with it. Obviously, I don't have that nitpicky, but it points to the design aesthetic, which they definitely, they're wanting to differentiate I think the characters around, especially Chewbacca, you know, the iconic partner of Han Solo, I think it might make it easier visually. This is just me guessing. Mm-hmm. But I'm guessing that the theory behind it is you want to differentiate them so that you know it's a younger Chewbacca, and so that it's sort of anything they can do to kind of lessen the impact of the difference of a new actor playing, you know, Han Solo.
All right, let me respond to that just a little bit.
Sure, sure.
Because in my mind, if I'm a filmmaker, number one, I'm going to go ahead and look at what's come before and say, well, we saw him in Revenge of the Sith on Kashyyyk dressed this way. So let's just continue that. And look, I could be way off. It could be part of the storyline that he gets his original bandolier strap back, you know, and that's a big deal. That could end up being a big deal that bonds he and Han even more. But I'm going to look at that and say, okay, well, so continuity is important, so let's do that. And then secondly, I'm going to say, to help people be eased into this and to accept Alden Ehrenreich more easily, I'm going to make sure that Chewie looks the same, so there's that, at least that familiarity.
Yeah.
So if you see him interacting with something that is completely familiar and you don't have to readjust your thinking based on someone's appearance or their clothes they're wearing, which I know is silly, and I'm not trying to be too negative. I'm just, these are questions that are coming up for me.
Well, and what they show, listen, this is the first footage we're getting of this movie 4 months from release. This is important stuff because this is setting the tone, maybe not for the story itself once we're in the theater, but certainly for the expectations, and that's what this episode is. It's our first reaction.
Yeah, you know, what I'm hoping is not happening here as we see them. I guess we're all assuming that those clouds and everything are outside Kessel there where he's flying through.
I'm just guessing because, you know, you see the lightning strikes with Lando later, so I'm just assuming that the lightning means it's Kessel.
Yeah. Do you think this is good, the Kessel run, or do you think that...
Oh, it may not be that specific moment, but you can bet you anything they're going to have the Kessel run in here.
What are those tentacles? Is that a monster we've seen before?
No, but it reminded me of the weird aliens and Rebels. You remember?
The hyperspace whales.
Yes. Or was that Clone Wars? I don't even remember.
No, the Clone Wars was the more like the big butterfly, giant butterfly whales.
That's right.
In Rebels, it's the squid whales, and that's what I'm wondering if that's what that is.
It didn't look like it to me. We'll scrub through screen by screen a little bit later in the program, because I know we've got Bruce is going to be available here in a minute, and I'm going to get him in, and I know Teresa's available here a little bit later. So we're going to actually
dig in
deeper.
You know who you should get on?
Who's that?
Matt Rushing.
Oh, who?
Exactly. Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you for that, Riley. Sorry. Thank you for that, Riley.
Sorry.
I was hoping you'd get that.
Dang it, I hate myself a little bit right now. All right. But
no, look, here's the thing. I want to point out a couple, because I know that you've got things to say, and I don't want to take your time. It's your show. But also, and this is one thing that's kind of stuck out to me since we started seeing, like, pictures and stuff leaked.
Yeah.
The speeder that he's... you know, apparently racing or driving around in.
They're like pod cars.
Yeah. That car is very, that one that he's driving very much resembles, you know, without the wheels, of course, the Han Solo Hot Wheels car.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities there.
Well, and I love the fact that this is there because this is a tie back to George Lucas and his big fan of car racing and like American Graffiti and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and it's perfect. And two, we know that Han gets back into racing after, you know, Return of the Jedi at some point, that sort of thing. And it's something that he went, quote unquote, back to. You read that in the Aftermath novels. And so
I think swoop racing as in the old. Well, let me ask you, this is the similarities. Han tried to join the
Imperial. Swoop racing's different than what this is.
Well, exactly. But I will say Han joining the Imperial Academy. Han, discovering Chewie for the first time. Han, you know, coming from a racing background. This is very similar to his origin in the expanded universe.
It is. And, you know, but I think that's smart because that's one of those things that has just been accepted for decades now, ever since the, you know, Anne Crispin and the Brian Daley novels. You know, that it's always been kind of accepted that Han was in the Imperial Navy and what the reason he was either, you know, kicked out or he got out was because of freeing Chewbacca. And, you know, he saw them doing this Wookiee slavery thing and he couldn't bring himself to it. Of course, he had a relationship with Wookiees in his childhood and that's what caused the snap. But Exactly. But yeah, I think that's a smart move on their part to keep some of that continuity, you know, that we know and love. It's not the expanded universe as we've come to call it. And quite frankly, a lot of those Han Solo origins came out well before what we call the expanded universe. The expanded universe as we know it really kind of started with the Heir to the Empire trilogy, with the Thrawn trilogy.
Yeah.
You know, before that, everything was, oh, well, here's a cool Star Wars book. You know, here's a Star Wars comic book. And we never really thought of it as this expanded universe thing. And a lot of what we know about Han comes well before that period in time. You know, and what we were always told and kind of grew up thinking and everything. And so when something, it's just like Boba Fett wearing Mandalorian armor.
Yeah.
Something gets that ingrained into the zeitgeist or into the mythos of this character, you've got to keep those elements as much as possible, I think. And not just to please the fans, but to just make sense. You know? And so I think it's a great idea. I think, you know, that's a smart way for them to go. I do, you mentioned when we were watching it earlier, you know, the heavy metal music. I do like the fact that in a Star Wars trailer, we're getting the big horn blast that, you know, was real popular 6-7 years ago in trailer. and it morphs into the Star Wars theme.
It morphs into the Blade Runner version of the Star Wars theme. Hey, let's bring him in. Mr. Bruce Gibson's on the line. How's it going, Bruce?
Who is this?
Who's asking me who this is?
This is going to come out on May 25th, 2018. Do you realize that that's... 31 years or 41 years after the release of Star Wars A New Hope?
I do realize that. Yeah, I mean, that's a significant date. That basically is the real Star Wars Day. Not May the 4th, but May 25th is Star Wars Day.
Amen. That's all we needed to say. Hey, guys, we'll be back next week as we... No.
What if Bruce came in and it was over?
May 25th is Star Wars Day. That is all.
Good night, everybody.
No, what was your response, man? Did you see? Well, let me ask you, because you saw because we can talk about the. There were some differences and some additional stuff in the Super Bowl version. Were you watching the Super Bowl last night when you saw the first teaser?
I did. I was surprised how early that came on. I kept expecting that to be like later in the evening, but it was, you know, in the first quarter. I don't even remember if it was in the first quarter right before the game started. It was very early.
Yeah. No,
but
it was.
I liked it.
No, it was, and we see the idea. We were talking a little bit about the expanded universe origins and the idea of Han Solo getting started out wanting to be the best pilot in the galaxy. What's I don't know, any moments that jumped out to you as your favorites? Any moment, any quibbles? What are you thinking here?
I don't know. It's just kind of jarring still not to see, you know, Harrison Ford as Han Solo. That's the one thing that's, you know, I'll get used to it as we see more and when I go into the movie, but it's just a little jarring to see that. So it's like, I don't know how I feel, but I mean, just seeing as much of the Empire as we did, I don't know how dominant they're going to be in the movie, but it feels very dominant, especially in that teaser that we saw during the Super Bowl. And that made it feel even more like Star Wars and made me identify in that time period that this is where we belong.
Yes. And it there are, and the thing I liked about, say, the Super Bowl version versus the full trailer is we just get a little bit better of a color palette. I was glad to not see everything look gray and depressing in the final trailer, because we get that nice, like, Lord of the Rings shot, whatever planet that is, with the snow, and, you know, there's the kind of cool desert planet that he seems to be running into Woody Harrelson's character. At some point, I'll remember the name.
You're talking about the planet with the pylons from Land of the Lost on there?
Yes, exactly. Exactly that.
Are we going back to black and white movies? Because that's what it feels like. We're just colors just slowly, slowly fading and fading and fading as we go.
Except for the sort of counter. That's the other thing is, like, with, you know, Thor Ragnarok and Guardians of the Galaxy, bright colors in some ways seem to be back. At least in those films, but it's in stark contrast to, like, seemingly everything else.
I just like the fact that they're Woody Harrelson's getting the band together. I think that's going to be cool. I think we're going to see other scoundrels and stuff instead of just Han and and Lando. I gotta say, this is really cool to me.
The supporting cast of this movie is probably what I'm most excited about.
Yes.
Like, seeing, have you seen, because I know everyone, I say everyone, a lot of people probably know Donald Glover from Community. Steve, have you seen any episodes of Atlanta?
No.
See, that's what excites me, because Donald Glover, not only as a writer and director, but as an actor, has the chops to deliver a very, well, a serious Lando. And that's what I really want to see, is sort of the Lando from The Empire Strikes Back that we've kind of forgotten amongst the robot chicken Lando. I'm really hoping that, I don't know, I really want Lando to be a serious character that isn't the caricature that we think of from pop culture today.
That's a great point, Riley, and it's also it's also a very astute observation that, you know, it seems like Lando has almost become a joke or a parody of himself over the years as we've moved into the whole robot chicken era of doing things. And I think that's a challenge for the filmmakers to not buy into that, not stereotype's the wrong word, but not to buy into that version of that character and to make him a parody of himself before we ever meet Lando in the chronological timeline of Star Wars. I think that's a really good point. And I've not seen Atlanta. I know that Donald Glover, though, is a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, I don't think, look, I'm of the mindset that no one ever sets out to make a bad movie or disrespect a character or anything like that. I don't think these actors going in are going to do anything or have a desire to, in a bad way, put their own stamp, and I'm using quote fingers, on the characters that they're playing. The only concerns I have are just the discrepancies in designs that we've talked about already. I think Donald Glover was the choice to play Lando. Yeah.
No, great casting. And Khaleesi, what's her name?
Amelia Clarke.
Thank you.
Sarah Connor.
Yeah, exactly. Amelia Clarke as Kira. Kira? There's no U. So I'm assuming it's just Kira. Yeah, there's no U. Yeah. So Kira. By the way, the early name that was going to be used for Rey in the original concept for The Force Awakens.
Well, they're going to get that name into Star Wars one way or the other.
It goes back to that sort of nothing. Nothing gets thrown away, I guess. Speaking of sweet capes, another. She's got the sweet cape. Atlanta's got the fur coat. She's got the cape. And it looks pretty awesome. And I this is the thing. I know nothing about her. I kind of don't even want to know. I don't know if she's Imperial. I don't know if she's from some kind of rogues gallery, what her background is, or connection to Han Solo. I just know she's like on the casino planet. Not casino planet. That would be from Last Jedi. But, you know, she's in the cantina and she's in the Falcon at some point. But that's all we see. Interesting. Well, Steve, I know you said you're only available here until right now as we're recording. So I appreciate you coming on, man, and jumping in.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm excited. I am excited about this movie. I like the idea of the anthology films, you know, and because I think we're able to let some of the little discrepancies, at least I am, go here and there. And I loved Rogue One. I think Rogue One has been my favorite of the post-Lucas era Star Wars movies, and so I have no reason not to look forward to this, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun experiment to get used to something else in the role of Han Solo, and it's going to be fun to see Woody Harrelson in Star Wars. And so I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely, man. Guys, check out Geek Out Loud. It's an awesome podcast, and go download it. Subscribe.
Matt Rushing. Yeah. Riley doesn't know who you are either.
Stop it. All right. Jeez, Louise. Right, thanks, Steve.
Bye, Steve. Steve, it was good talking to Steve.
Steve. He's gone.
No, I never get to talk to that guy. It's like as soon as he appears, he's gone.
I'm surprised you didn't hang up the second you jumped in the call.
No. This is the most I've talked to him in like a month.
I was going to say like ever, but what do you think? So Steve alluded to that you weren't on at the first call is that sort of the design of the Falcon where, you know, there's no jowl, there's no crab. What do you call it? I can't think of the right word, a good descriptor. Email us.
There's no crab. There's no lobster.
You know, you had the two left, the right and the left prong on the Falcon, right? That jut forward. And then there's that gap. There's the buyout of the hamburger that Scott Rifen.
I didn't even notice that.
You know, it's not there. If you look at the final shots, it's literally, a solid, entirely solid shape. Now,
ooh,
it could
well,
be,
then I like
maybe
that.
It's cargo, but Steve was pointing out, like, when he saw that, you know, we do see the Falcon in Revenge of the Sith, and it isn't like that. But, of course, that could be easily explained by, you know, the it has cargo there, which is what I guess right. I always assumed that it was supposed to be. All right, let me see if I can get one. This is the problem with...
I see it now. That's so cool.
Right?
Yeah, maybe it's cargo or something.
Well,
or maybe
we
just Han decided to make a change to it. Or maybe that got blasted and they just never replaced whatever was there.
It's interesting because... Everyone's first reaction so far has been, I feel like everyone really liked this trailer, and it's that's some of the headlines I've seen is like, the Han Solo trailer, it finally looks like it may not be a disaster. I've seen like a lot of those headlines of like, it's actually pretty good.
I expected that. I figured by the time this came out, people would start buying into it more. And I purposely have not read anything online before we talked because I didn't want to be swayed by anybody's opinion.
Bravo, sir. Bravo. Well done, sir. I'd only literally seen the trailer twice before we even started.
And I don't care what you say about William Devereaux. He's an okay guy.
He's like, I don't care what all the slander you've been tossing his way. That's. More than enough. Oh wait, I just realized speaking of which, I need to get him on the phone, but it would be helpful, Riley, if I actually called his cell because I realized he doesn't have Skype. So I was alluding to while I work on getting William on the line, Bruce, everyone's reaction is sort of like, but Alden. That's sort of the first thing. It's like, man, I like this or that. What is some of the stuff you liked about the trailer outside of Alden Ehrenreich? Some of the characters, some of the scenes, Kessel, the train chase. Like, what stuff are you most looking forward to?
Yeah, I do like the train chase. That looks really cool to me. That's something a little different that we haven't seen in Star Wars.
It's
so I always
very
like to see something different.
Old Western. Like, it's something it straight out of, you know, a spaghetti Western movie. Down to, like, in this trailer, the shot of, like, literally unbuckling the holster of a rifle and going to the wide stance for a shootout. Like,
and
right out of an episode
exactly
of Bonanza.
What I want. That's what I want in a Star Wars movie. Something that's different, but it's borrowing from other genre of movies and just placing it into this universe, but then giving it a twist. And that's what's really cool about this, is that we already know we're going to get a Western out of this movie.
Yeah.
This is a old-timey Western, and you're putting the posse together, and they're going to shoot them out and, you know, fight against the bad guys, go in the saloon, do whatever. You know, it's going to be pretty cool in that respect. And Emilia Clarke I'm very interested in, because I'm interested in that whole relationship that Han has with her that may link over to how Han's relationship with Leia develops. That might have influence in how he relates to women.
I'm very interested in how they handle that dynamic as well. There's a couple different directions they could go with that. Mr. William Devereaux, how's it going, my friend? Oh, is he there? I think he's there. Oh, I hear you. So, William, I hear you in the distant, in this sort of distorted crunchiness. So I'm guessing it's a different mic.
Hey.
There we go. There he is. There it is. How's it going, man?
Good. Sorry, I'm having a few issues. Hold on.
No worries. No worries. No, we were just hanging out.
It must
out.
Be the company he's at.
It's just like,
are you?
Stop it.
You're not live, right?
No.
Yeah, we're live. Yeah,
no, we're live to hard drive, though, my friend. Although the funny thing is, I'm interrupting everybody at work. Scott's at work. I called him anyway. You're at work. Called him anyway.
So
William's
I'm
at work.
I'm not actually at work. I just woke up.
Oh.
you
literally.
I thought you meant 8:30. P.M., not
8:30 a.m. Yes! William, you haven't seen the trailer then, have you?
I actually did.
Okay.
I woke up, and then I watched the trailer for like 45 minutes, and then I went back to sleep because I was so tired.
See, the problem is that, yeah.
I was like, I have the... This is all not going on the podcast.
Well, every second of this is going on the podcast, my friend.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
This is so good. Sorry. I'm a terrible human being. I'm so sorry, man.
So I have the smart speakers. And they're all like ringing. And I'm like, what is going on? Why are they ringing?
William's entire house.
And then, like, they stopped ringing and then they started ringing again. And it's like, call from Bruce Gibson. I'm like, why is Bruce calling me?
I wasn't calling you.
I'm so sorry, Willie. I'll let you go. Literally, if you're not up for, it's hours.
No. Yeah, give me.
I can call you back.
Just a minute.
Yeah, no, I'll call you back in a couple minutes.
How does it sound? I can just use these speakers, but
it actually doesn't sound too bad. A little bit of echo, but it's manageable. Tell you what, though, I'll just call you. Give you a couple minutes. Collect your thoughts, and because we are getting a little echo.
I have to go at 9, though. I have a meeting.
Oh well. Go at 9 or
I can call in, so I just need to be hanging up at 9.
Oh, sweet.
Good thing we woke him up for the
meeting. Works perfect.
I had my alarm set for 8:45.
Yeah, no, perfect, man. No, literally, I'll tell you what, I'll give you like 2 or 3 minutes and we'll just call you back.
I figured I was going to get up at 6:30 and I was like, or 6 o'clock, and then I was like, you know what, I am so tired. I went to sleep at 1.
No.
1:30. It's 6:30. I need like a little more sleep.
Yeah. No worries, man. No, I'll call you back in a few minutes on Skype for your phone, so we won't have the echo, and then we'll jump right in.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm turning on my computer.
Call you in a sec.
Okay.
Did you? All right. Hey, Bruce.
Yes.
I'm leaving every darn second of that in this podcast.
And anybody who knows you, and he knows.
Listen. He knows.
You're gonna use what you can get.
He shouldn't have. Well, what's funny is that he really shouldn't have answered. That was. Can you imagine? Just it's like, you know, 8 a.m. You got no sleep. I'm such a mean person. And all of his smart speakers.
I mean, that's the thing. Anytime you call me, when I say hello and answer the phone, I'm thinking I may be on a show right now. I never know.
I've trained you well.
I'm just always on.
Well, and the reason
I know even this discussion is going to be on. Hey, have you seen the Han Solo trailer?
Exactly. Well, okay. Let me since you've kind of tossed the ball in the ring of the outside of Han Solo part, because that is my sort of initial reaction of like, man, this looks like it's an amazing movie minus my gigantic reservation with Han Solo. Every other part of this movie, I'm now in on. Which is still a good thing, with one more exception, and that is the sort of greatest hits. Like, if it's the Kessel Run, and it's the Han at the Academy, and Han meets Chewbacca, and Han gets the Millennium Falcon, and, you know, Han makes the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs, then if it's just that sort of greatest, and then we see Lando at the Battle of Tanab, then I'm going to be a little disappointed. But what I'm seeing from Woody Harrelson, and what I'm seeing from this droid. Oh, and then what's her face? I'm so bad with cast. I'll get it eventually. The lady from Westworld. I can't think of it. It was only a brief glimpse, but just like some of the droid designs, and then the stuff that we're seeing on the Kessel Run footage itself, like. Some of this speeder looking thing,
yeah,
I love it. But the you know, again,
I don't want the greatest hits either. Like just like you're saying,
exactly.
It's too on the nose. It'll take us out.
You know what? The one thing that kind of
check spot.
Oh, sorry. I was like doing that. This line right here. Listen.
Thought we were in trouble there for a second, but it's fine. We're fine.
Okay. All right. I get it. He said that in A New Hope, and now he's saying it here. You know, he's like, we're fine. He didn't quite do the exact line, but it was a little like, wink. It's that turn to the screen and wink moment. Right. Careful with those. Just be careful. That's all I'm saying. Be really careful, because if that can become a crutch. That can be a crowd pleaser on the first viewing, but that isn't the makings of a great film, right? And so that can be there, but if that's all that's there, that's the thing that needs to be avoided. But, you know, this is a trailer. That could literally be like one of three times this happens in the whole movie. But that was my problem with Rogue One a lot of the times, is that I thought some of the serious character development was glossed over in favor of a lot of the sort of crowd-pleaser Star Wars fan moments. And that's why I don't think Rogue One has the repeat viewing value for me personally. Isn't it funny that we live in the world where I really feel like I need to clarify that, just because it's not a personal criticism or attack of people who love Rogue One. That's just why I think the rewatchability factor isn't as much there with Rogue One versus something like Last Jedi. But
maybe because Last Jedi is tied to so many of the movies in the saga that Rogue One's on its own, you don't feel like you have to watch it as much, maybe?
Yeah, well,
because it's not adding to the mythos as much about the Force and stuff.
Yeah, that and it's honestly just the humor doesn't hold up on repeated viewings quite as much, which is fair, because, like, listen, the humor in A New Hope doesn't hold up. I mean, I'm not going to laugh every time I see "Get this walking carpet out of my way," because I know the line's coming every time. But that humor there is, at the surface level, something that makes the film really enjoyable, but there's a lot more depth to the characters in A New Hope, for example, than whereas with Rogue One, you have Jyn Erso, whose entire sort of motivation for joining the Rebellion is kind of glossed over in one moment, because she sees her dad, who she hasn't seen in 25 years.
Yeah, she's that old too.
And for me, there's at the same, and so same thing, like Bodhi Rook, this incredible backstory that needed to be told, that's just alluded to, that he's this disenfranchised pilot. But if we saw why, and we saw him leave, and we saw him talk to Galen Erso, and saw him, you know, that would have been that. So those are the elements of, like, it's the show versus tell, I guess, is what I'm saying. It's the old full.
Well, it's like you only have so much time, and then when you put all these new characters in,
perfect
you don't
example.
Have that chance. All
right. Rogue One, again, I hate to harp on Rogue One. I know a lot of you guys
love it. We're not
going to
harp on Rogue One, but that could be a concern in this movie,
perfect
too.
Example of what I don't want to see in Han Solo and what we saw in Rogue One is, like, Jyn Erso, you did this and you did that, and then this happened and then that happened, which makes you an enemy of the Empire, and which is why we're going to get you to do this. You don't want that. You don't want that moment in Han Solo. All right, I got all distracted. I need to figure out how this works. All right, there we go.
And
I have the message from William.
The one thing you're going to get used to me saying every time we get a trailer is,
oh good lord, oh good lord. I cut you off, Bruce. Bruce. Sorry, I cut you off. The one thing I'm not going to get in the trailer is what?
That I'm get used to me saying this. What in this trailer is not in the movie? I mean, you know, there may be a lot of stuff in here.
Good point. Good point. All right, there we go. I think we got William in. William, are you there?
Hello there. Hello there.
So, we're talking.
How's it sound?
Your reaction. Well, and I'm going to actually cheat now. You sound great, by the way. I'm going to cheat now because I'm going to tell you what everyone else's sort of reaction is. The sort of consensus we're hearing from various people we've been getting on is, hey, you know, I was impressed. It was, wow, you know, I was, you know, lower expectations. I hear all the drama. I hadn't seen anything yet. I was getting kind of anxious. Loved everything, but, and I'm calling it the but Alden. There's this sort of thing. There's this disconnect.
Is
that your...
Okay. 110%.
Why? Let me just ask
you honestly,
why is that?
I don't care about all the behind-the-scenes drama.
Yeah.
I have faith in Lucasfilm. They're not going to release a crappy movie, right? They know what they're doing. They know how to hire the right people. I think the cast looks excellent. I think the visuals are amazing, right? The story I'm really excited about because it looks like they're even staying true to the EU origins of Han Solo without... While still doing, you know, some new things as well. But, like, you got the whole Imperial Academy and you've got... you know, you're rescuing Chewbacca and you've got, you know, Corellia and, you know, everything, right? But like you said, the Alden of it.
Yep.
And I was really, so you know me, I am, you know, hopelessly optimistic, I guess I would say, right?
I am way more optimistic. You're the most optimistic about this film of all my Star Wars friends, by the way, William.
Well, thank you. It's not even just in Star Wars, right? It's just in general. I tend to be way more optimistic and than most, sometimes to a fault. And I can't get over Alden, and I was really hoping that this trailer would change. Like, I was thinking, oh, as soon as I see Alden in action, it's going to change my opinion of everything, right? And I'm going to be totally fine with him. And they're going to show that moment that just feels like Han, and I'm going to be like, that's it. That's the Han we've been waiting for, right?
And we didn't get it.
Did not get it in this trailer.
Yeah. Well, and let me just do the perfect.
It kills me because I desperately want to believe Alden is Han.
Even when they go full on original trilogy and like reference again the wink at the screen moment when, and I'm just going to play this just by comparison. Here's okay. Alden Ehrenreich funny Han moment.
Thought we were in trouble there for a second, but it's fine. We're fine.
He's got the grin. He's got this sort of the humorous thing. It's you're waiting for it to say, you know, you said you're hoping you'd be here when I was wrong, sweetheart. Looks like it's going to happen.
The tone is just
the difference
not
between
right.
that. Listen to this.
Keep your distance, though, Chewie, but don't look like you're trying to keep your distance.
Yes, that's what I'm looking for.
If you play it side by side. If you play it side by side, you hear the difference. And I don't know what the difference is. I can't even tell what the difference is, but there's a difference.
I know it's hard to replace Han Solo. And you don't want to have someone who just is... when you have a new actor embody the character, you don't want them to just mimic them 100%. You want to kind of make it their own. And it's like because it'll be a better performance that way.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. And I thought they did a pretty good job. You know, I was worried about... the visuals as well, because this is the first, I mean, we've talked about this many times offline, but this is the first time we've seen an actor replace a different actor replace a major character this close in the timeline, right? To between films, like, you know, Ewan McGregor to Sir Alec Guinness, I can totally buy, because that's, you know, 20 years.
Yeah.
Right.
This is
even if we see Ewan McGregor reprise the role now, you know, less than 20 years, like there's the rumored Kenobi movie, right?
Yeah.
Even if it takes place 5 years before A New Hope, I can kind of buy it. One, because they look pretty similar and act pretty similar, and two, we've seen Ewan so much that I think it's less of an issue now. You know, or Hayden Christensen, you know, to and Jake Lloyd and Sebastian Shaw, they look drastically different, but I can kind of pretend because there's enough of a gap. 10 years, so
you don't have that uncanny valley effect.
Starts off, like, I wouldn't be surprised if we see the movie start off much earlier, right? Maybe when Han is 10, we see the movie start off, like he mentions in the trailer.
And it's called Stardust.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, even if we see that where the movie ends, it can't be more than. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it ends seconds before A New Hope.
Well,
you know,
so,
right before
so
he walks.
The only thing we know about
if it doesn't, even if it's a few years.
The main thing we know
even
about
if it's a few years, it's too close. But visually, I can kind of with this trailer, I can kind of sort of buy him, not 100%, but kind of.
Can you look past the actor and just say, okay, this is a different actor. This is a different take. On Han Solo, just like James Bond, to go in there and say, "Okay, this isn't Harrison Ford. This isn't those movies."
Actually, you know what?
This is separate.
Let me make
the James Bond movies, their actors are very different every time they embody that role.
And what's funny, Bruce, and I think I can answer your question really well because my initial emotional response to your question is no, because Han Solo is not James Bond. However. What sort of differentiates Han Solo from James Bond in my mind as a Star Wars fan within the Star Wars saga is the way he relates to the characters in the original trilogy as the sort of everyman, right? He's our connection, and he's sort of saying the things that we're thinking, like, oh, that's crazy, or like, you know, like my instinct would never be to rush headlong into the Imperial detention block to rescue a girl I've never heard of, right? But until I heard she was wealthy, so it's like it's sort of the everyman rogue scoundrel. And that's why we love him so much. But the advantage to that is that this film isn't about it's. We're not going to see a young Luke Skywalker interacting with Han Solo. We're not going to see right. Obi-Wan Kenobi. So he might have the freedom. The character of Han Solo here has the freedom of not being restrained to that aspect of his character as the person who sort of bounces off or relates to all the fantastical elements of Star Wars. and this is more of a straight up, this could be more of a straight up James Bond style film.
That's true. Hmm. And maybe we'll see him change to the point and grow into the point of where we see him in A New Hope, where he's a little bit more wry and sarcastic. You know, maybe we see that. And, you know, I think that the scene you picked is the perfect example, right? Because that's the one where I was like, that needs to be Han, and it wasn't. Maybe that kind of thing early on is a little different. He's a little less confident, but it didn't feel like confidence. Just, I don't know.
That's the honest thing. I can't tell you what the difference is. I can only tell you there's a difference, right?
Yes.
It's weird.
Exactly.
It's weird like that.
Like, I don't know. Like, if I was, it would be almost like, I'm not.
I know, it's right. It kind of leaves you a little, like, you're trying to put words to, but it's hard to, like, you know, put your finger on what that difference is, like, but it's a tough one. Like, well, what's funny is now
we're in trouble, but it's fine.
You know,
we're fine or something. So, you know, it's a little bit more like that, but we'll see. Well, but, I mean, Bruce, you brought up an excellent point, right? Why can we do it for Bond, but not for Han Solo?
Well, I can speak for myself because, and I think you guys are probably in the same boat. We've always felt these movies are so connected. Mm-hmm. And now to see a movie that doesn't feel maybe as connected because the actors don't quite look and sound like what we're used to, all of a sudden you have to think about, okay, the Star Wars saga is connected. The standalone films kind of they stand on their own. They're not necessarily have to be 100% connected in the look and feel as the other films.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's really strange. It's like, you know, I always looked at the six Star Wars movies, the prequels and the original trilogy, as one story that if you connected them all together, it's like one big movie. And now I've gotten to a point where it's like, I don't think that's going to work anymore as we get new movies. I can't put Han Solo into those films and say, this fits in there and it feels natural when you go from this to that. Because when you look at this actor, it feels like the same actor you're going to get in A New Hope. It's not going to fit anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you know, it's possible that, you know, this is Star Wars and the franchise needs to grow, and James Bond has been around for a long time, and they've always had like one central character, right? Versus Star Wars, which grows and changes, and they introduce new main characters. This one, James Bond is always like, yep, it's a James Bond movie, and. You know, I think they had that precedent for replacing Bond enough that we just kind of are all used to it.
I think there's...
With Star Wars, it's like, no. They've always done an amazing job of having the same actors come back. And
although, I can think of a Star franchise that did transition to new actors for iconic characters recently, and I think Bruce could speak to that pretty well. Although, William, I know you're a couple minutes out from, like, an actual, like, grown-up work and conference calls and stuff like that, so I don't want to keep you on any longer than you have to be, but I do appreciate you swinging by, man, and me waking you up on all of your smart speakers with my Skype call because of the time confusion.
No problem, but I actually I'm sending a quick message. I might be able to be a few minutes late to it, so.
Oh, sweet. Well, in that case, let me ask you this, Bruce, and I'll keep you on for a few more minutes, and then we actually should be here in about 10 minutes. We'll have the one and only Teresa Delgado able to join us, hopefully. So, Bruce, that Star franchise is Star Trek. And we had a still-living Leonard Nimoy who came in and sort of gracefully ushered in Zachary Quinto into the role of Spock by way of him playing Spock Prime. Now, I'm not saying that Harrison Ford needs to play Han Prime, but, man, that would have been I can imagine that have been a very tempting thing to do in the script, is having sort of like, you know, you're all sitting around the campfire and an old Han Solo's like, yeah, man, back in the day it was like this Kessel Run was crazy, man.
Well, it's funny because they did that in Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Wait,
when
no
it first
way.
Aired.
Really?
There was one episode where Harrison Ford
I did not know that.
Old Indiana Jones. Yes, and he reflected back to a time. It was just in one episode that he did that. And that's the other thing. We saw a young Indiana Jones played by three different actors at different time periods.
Oh, yeah.
And even that felt a little odd to me.
Yeah. Would it have worked here? I'm quite confident, man, although I would say if there was a Harrison Ford cameo of some kind that they fit into the timeline years later or something like that, or voiceover wise or something, even something super subtle, I think there would be a tasteful way to bring Harrison Ford in this movie as a sort of just a nice little thumbs up from the original guy. Even if it's just, you know, I don't know.
Even if it was like Han retelling his story or something.
Not in a cheesy way. Like, even if it was a brief, tiny voiceover moment.
Yeah.
Or single shot. Not a full-on narrative where they're just, like, cutting back and forth to old Han telling the story. But that would be really interesting. I don't know. I don't know if it would work, if I'm being honest. But, man, it would feel good as, you know, just getting a little rubber stamp from Harrison Ford. Although, I don't think we're going to get any kind of rubber stamp from Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford's done. Goodbye, Harrison Ford. It was fun while it lasted. Woody Harrelson's character, by the way, is Beckett. And he's sort of the... who's the guy who, like, brings... He's, like, the guy who brings the whole gang together. He's the Sam Jackson character from the Marvel franchise. He's the Nick Fury, I guess. I'm assembling a crew. You in? And he's like, he means yes. Actually, that was a kind of nice, that was probably the best delivered line. He means yes. And we see Kira in that amazing cape, and she's escorted by this kind of weird droid. I was talking to Mr. Mark Herleman on the phone last night. He was kind of pointing out that this droid that accompanies Kira and is seen in a couple different shots kind of reminds him of sort of a Lebo from Shadows of the Empire a little bit. Which I could see. But you see her, she has this striking red mm-hmm. cape. And it's
yeah. Visually, everything looks fantastic. And, I'm excited. The whole cast looks really good. And
do we have a half of a hiccup of a moment where we even briefly considered that Donald Glover wasn't perfect for Lando? Like...
Not as much, no. And I think there's two reasons for that. One, he's a, you know, sorry, Lando fans, he's more of a minor character. Mm-hmm. I would say he's like a B-list character, right? Not an A-list, not a C-list. And so I'm less concerned about that. And two, like, Lando was in Empire and Jedi, but he's, again, because he's not major, I think, and because... we've overplayed his character so yes. much in fandom.
It's like
Return of the Jedi.
He's the Admiral Ackbar on the scoundrel end of the spectrum. Admiral Ackbar got yes. so overplayed that, like, when he died in The Last Jedi, I didn't even think about it. But everyone's like, well, where was his glorious death scene? I was like, what did you want? Like a slow panning shot of him just saying, it's a... What did you want for Admiral Ackbar? All Admiral Ackbar's role was restricted to in the original trilogy was, you can see here that plan, and the, it's a trap. That's literally all that Admiral Ackbar does in the original trilogy. And he became this huge icon of the robot chicken era of Star Wars. So, yeah, I kind of, to me... I think this is the opportunity to see a Lando far more on the scoundrel side than the rogue yes. side. Because, listen...
And Donald Glover looks really... He looks like Lando, I think. Not 100%, but
well,
close.
And in the fur coat shot, swagger. He's got the full-on beard grizzly look in the fur coat shot, but in the Super Bowl trailer, but in the trailer this morning, the kind of you get the full-on Lando grin, and he has a much more traditional yellowish
and he's got coat. The swagger and the personality.
And no beard, by the way, in that shot, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
So...
he shaves his beard.
I think
sheds his fur coat and shaves the beard.
He's like, he cleans up a little to head into the club. Thandie Newton, that's what I was thinking of. She played Maeve in Westworld. She's a really good actress. And she's probably, I'm guessing, one of the crew for Beckett, Woody Harrelson's. I'm working on it, guys. I'm working on putting these names together. Beckett is Woody Harrelson's character. I'd totally forgotten that, by the way, until I'm referencing this breakdown from The Verge. And we get a little CGI alien dude, a little bit of fun here and there. We get, as Steve pointed out, a different Chewbacca bandolier to kind of differentiate his look a little bit. He's got, you know, the V-shaped bandolier going around his neck, coming down over both shoulders. Beckett definitely doesn't understand Wookiee because it has to be translated.
Like, all that stuff is good. I am so excited about the plot and the cast and everything it's like you said, the Alden of it. And I desperately don't want to be. I feel like I'm just that guy saying like, oh, I'm excited, but Alden, right?
But it is the prominent reaction.
He's a great actor, right? I know he's very good at what he does.
I think it's just going to take time until we get used to it.
I think you're my favorite. It's possible.
That's true. It very well.
Guys, remember when we were worried about Alden?
Yeah, exactly. I might be the only person who knows who you really are. Bruce?
Yeah, what do you think?
Who is Han Solo at this point? What and how would Kira know that?
So do you think he joined the Empire? Like do you think that's while he's in the Empire? And
it could, because I get the sense that in the very beginning shot, I feel like the car chase, the we'll call it the pod car race from the beginning, Kira is sitting next to him in one of those shots. And they look kind of, to me, I don't know, it may not be true, but they look kind of younger. So she may have known him while he was younger growing up, and he's joined, that could be the moment where he's joined the Empire, and she's like, no, this life isn't for you. You know, I'm the only one who knows who you really are. They're standing in this sort of like tent city, dust planet looking thing. It looks like they're on Kessel at that point. Yeah. So I really wonder how much, because we know we cover the Academy, right? Because in the Super Bowl spot, we're like, he's signing up at the recruiting station at the beginning of this spot.
They glossed over it in this one.
And in this one, you know, he's already like, yeah, no, that whole Academy thing didn't really work out for me. So we know it covers that. Who knows? Maybe it's just a jump cut from point A to B, but maybe they'll show some of that transition as he becomes disenfranchised, as he, you know, gets his mind of his own.
If I had to guess, we'll probably see a little bit of him before the Academy. We'll see him join the Academy.
Yeah.
And then or maybe the movie even starts with him trying to join the Academy, right? Because he's on the run and he decides he's going to join the Academy. And then he goes on this one mission and probably meets Chewbacca and decides to save him. Cut. And we go to the future. And maybe you have to meet the Solo logo. Right?
Yep. Yeah.
Kind of like
it. Oh, good Lord. I messed it up again. Unpause the call. There we go. Sorry, William. We just missed your last sentence because I accidentally put the call on hold. Sorry, you were saying.
So, if I had to guess what was going to happen, right? We probably get is very briefly. Maybe the movie opens with Han joining the Academy. We're like, what? What is this? Right?
Yeah.
And maybe that's why we only see him.
Which, by the way, is going to be a big shock to most people who aren't, you know, familiar with his whole backstory.
It's commonplace for us. We're like, of course Han was in the Imperial Academy, but for most people, they're going to be shocked. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see him join the Academy right at the beginning of the movie and mention that he's been on the run. Right? And then we get the Solo logo. You know, just like the part before the logo and
Yeah, like the little prologue.
And it comes back. He's now an Imperial pilot. That's when he immediately finds Chewbacca, rescues him, and then he's out of the Academy. And that's it.
Yeah.
It probably isn't that long. And they use the logo as to give them like a time jump between him joining and leaving.
Yeah.
And then we get the rest of the movie.
See, right? You're making a mistake because now you're building your expectations, and when you go in, you're not going to get what you want.
Honestly, so here's the thing. I actually don't care. Because it's weird. I'm like attached to Han's backstory, but I'm also not. Like, if they change it, I don't really mind. I love that they're keeping a lot of the same stuff. You know, we're gonna see Kessel and finding Chewbacca and finding the Falcon. I think all that's awesome.
Well, and I think the line that Emilia Clarke says about, you know, you're not. I'm the only person who knows what you really are. I don't think it's a reflection of what he did.
I think we have Teresa. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, it's Teresa Delgado, Fangirls Going Rogue, and 1700, right? 100 other podcasts, I think, right?
Did I get 1700? 700. Sure.
Make it try. I want to be precise there.
Now Teresa, it's 1701.
Hey, are you like? Are you much of a Han Solo? Do you like? You a fan of the Han Solo? You like?
Am I a fan of the Han Solo?
Yeah.
Of the Han Solo.
The Han Solo, yeah.
I'll tell you what. I'm more a fan of Lando, and I am. I saw the posters just now.
Yes.
I just saw the posters.
I just saw your tweets.
I fell out of my chair with that Lando poster. I was like, oh, God.
Dang it. I haven't seen this. All right, hang on. I've got to find this. Solo poster. I'm sure it'll be trending.
You need to see these. They're amazing. Have you
seen these, Riley?
Oh. No, no. This is what I get for
But I do like Han Solo. I do.
Well, and it's
how did William see these posters? He just woke up.
I know. What? We literally woke William up.
I was very efficient when I woke up and watched the trailer before I went back to sleep.
Oh, I like the Kira coaster too. That's cool. Chewie,
yeah.
We got Chewie.
Yeah, I'm looking at these.
Solo. Wait, where's the Lando? I don't see the. Oh, there he is. Oh yeah. Listen, his he's
Kira
got a
looks awesome.
A bigger mustache than that. So it's interesting, Teresa. Just the TLDR, the sort of we've rotated Steve through, Scott Reifert through, and you're on with me, William, and Bruce. I probably should have said that a second ago. If I were a professional podcaster, I would have. But the
I figured it out by voices, but they're not.
Save the best.
Exactly. Exactly. But the reaction has been like, wow, this looks like a really good movie. Man, that's not Harrison Ford. That's sort of been like the general consensus so far. How about your reaction? What are you liking? What are you what you got questions on? What's your overall response?
Well, you know, as far as the Harrison Ford thing goes, I think I have this very weird ability to see characters as characters and not who their actors are. And not associate that character with only that actor. And I know a lot of people can't do that. And so for me, the fact that it's not Harrison Ford makes little to no difference at all. I don't really care because this is going to be Alden Ehrenreich's take on the Han Solo character. And for me, the character has to be able to exist outside of its actors.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, I think he has to at some point. If you'll hold your thought for a half sec, Teresa, I know, William, you got to get out of here. I want to say my farewells to you. Thanks for jumping on. And, of course, everyone check out the Ion Cannon podcast.
Awesome. Thanks, Riley and Bruce, for having me on. We're going to have our full impressions up tonight on the podcast.
Can't wait to hear it. Can't wait to hear it. All right, man. We'll talk soon.
Thanks. Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye, Teresa.
Thank you for writing Star Tours.
Bye-bye.
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 Sorry, Teresa, you were saying.
Okay, so, you know, as far as it not being Harrison Ford, I don't really care. And I'm more interested to see what Ehrenreich does with this character. And I'm fine with that. And same thing for Donald Glover and Lando and, you know, all that. I tend to not be stuck on that. But as far as my first reaction to the TV spot last night, I was freaking out. I was like, oh my God, it's so, oh my God. Like, it was just, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I think it's partially because I have no expectation of what this movie is going to be about at all. There's two things I want to see. Uh-huh. How Han meets Chewie and how Han meets Lando. And that's all I care about. I don't care about anything else. I want them to just take me for a ride. And it looks like it's going to be that. So I'm like, whatever, bring it on. May 25th, where are you at?
Yeah, I know. It makes you a better person than me, Teresa, because it's funny because I can do that exactly. In fact, I'm almost more excited to see Donald Glover's take on Lando Calrissian than Billy Dee Williams. I think he is such a great cast because his acting chops in terms of both comedy with Community and drama with what he did with Atlanta and so many other things that he's done. I just can't wait to see him as Lando. And what I hope happens, I don't know if this will or not, but I part of me is confident that this will happen, is that it will just take getting used to, and that I'll be able, by the time, you know, I'm walking into the theater, I'll be plenty fine with seeing Ehrenreich do his take on Han Solo.
But, you know, Teresa has the right attitude and the right approach to this. That's exactly how you need to go into this and just look at the characters and the stories and not worry so much about who the actor is portraying it. I mean, think of all the movies you've seen based on history and all the different actors you've seen play, you know, JFK or Ronald Reagan or any president. I mean, we just come to accept it once you start to watch the movie. And I think that's the same way that could happen here when we go into this movie. We just accept Alden for who he is.
Well, and we're at the point.
Well, okay, so. Mm-hmm.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Riley.
Oh, okay. Just very briefly, I think also one thing that will be communicated through the style of this film and that might help accept Ehrenreich more is because if this is if this falls in line with the more original vision of the spinoff films and it is a spaghetti Western Star Wars, which, by the way, like, looking at these posters, these are literally like wanted posters. They look like spaghetti Western posters, especially like Kira's poster with Emilia Clarke's character holding like what looks like a six shooter with the shot in the trailer of the, you know, the wide stance getting ready to draw, the OK Corral kind of shot. That's that. If you're having sort of a new style of Star Wars movie, which, by the way, I'm a huge fan of for these spinoff films, that could make it a little bit easier instead of if they were trying to carbon copy the feel and look and pace of A New Hope.
Right. Well, I want to kind of piggyback off of what Bruce is saying that, like, for example, we have seen Tom Hanks play real life characters. We've seen him play Walt Disney.
Yep.
We've seen him play Jim Lovell. Like, people that actually we know exist, that we can see how they were and all this stuff. And I think it's a manner of, well, back up. Aaron Reich knows who he's playing. He knows who he's playing. He's not stupid. And he knows that he has to incorporate maybe a few things, but he also has to have the creative freedom as an artist to be able to make the character his own. Otherwise, it won't work. And so he knows that going into it. But, you know, going back to Tom Hanks, we've seen him play these people, and he's getting ready to play Mr. Rogers. So, I mean, it has to be okay for these artists to be able to take a character or a person and interpret them. And I think, like, Tom Hanks did a fabulous job as Walt Disney. Was he perfect? No. But, like, really? Like, who else is going to play Walt Disney?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
No.
So, I mean, it's kind of like that. You have to be able to distance your personal baggage and expectations and be willing to accept what these filmmakers and these artists and creators are giving us. And that kind of even goes back to The Last Jedi, which is where I was. It was like, I'm here for the story that Rian Johnson is telling, not the story I have created in my head.
Yeah.
You know, because if I was just all in on the story I've created in my head, I'd go make a fan film, right?
Yeah.
So it's like one of those, I don't know, it's one of those things, it's hard for people to do, and I know that I am in the minority. And I was actually talking about this morning to one of my friends, and I was just like, you know, am I weird? Like, that I'm like...
In the best of ways.
My outlook?
In the best of ways.
No, actually, you're right. I was like, okay.
Well, Teresa, I think you're weird and you're right. Because it's good that you can actually do that. It's a good weird.
It's a good weird. Good job, Teresa. You're
exactly.
Weird.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you what. Unfortunately, we're at the end of our time here. We'll probably do a full shot by shot breakdown for next week's episode and some more. But Teresa, thanks so much for jumping in, and Bruce, of course. I know I called both of you guys at work, like responsible human beings. While I'm
everybody on the show has been at work except for Riley.
Well, listen, I'm kind of working. It's the best kind of work. which I guess I should do a parting shot to thank. I almost forgot. We do have a sponsor for this coverage, and of course that's Sperry. Make sure that you check out their awesome collection of Star Wars shoes. Some really fun and stylish stuff. It's available at starwarsreport.com/Sperry. Half price right now and limited quantity too. So those are selling out fast. So make sure you check them out and make sure that you let them know that you heard about them from the Star Wars Report podcast. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be the new theme for Solo now that Ron Howard's doing it. It is a good day. And Teresa, of course, we can find you on Fangirls Going Rogue. Where else can folks find you?
Oh, you know, probably the big ones are going to be Star Wars Bookworms, which is a part of the Star Wars
of course.
Podcasting Network. And we are recording our reactions to the trailer tonight.
Oh, nice.
Be out sometime this week.
Awesome.
And then Disney Vault Talk, which is my Disney show. We're getting ready to start Pixar films. So if you love Pixar,
yeah,
we review every Pixar film.
Awesome.
So excited.
Awesome. Can't wait. Can't wait. Of course, Bruce, thanks, man. Appreciate it. You're at Admiral_Rex on the Twitters. And of course, you do Star Trek stuff.
Yeah, and who's singing that Happy Day song? Is that the Smurfs? That's what it sounds like.
No, it's a DJ Quads remix. It's really fun stuff. It's good stuff. Listen, it's my favorite. I love this song, and I'm just using any excuse I can to play it. But yes, subscribe to the show, of course. We've got more Han Solo coverage coming up all throughout the film, so if you're not subscribed, do so. iTunes, and we're now available on Google Play. And pretty much anywhere you get podcasts, the Star Wars Report, and tell your friends about it. and leave those ratings and reviews. It helps us. Your thoughts on the Han Solo trailer, email us, starwarsreport@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Facebook. It's simply Star Wars Report. And the best way to interact with me on social media is Instagram. It's at the Riley Guy. All right. Until next week with our full shot-by-shot breakdown. It's a new era of Star Wars fandom. Listen, we just finished up our Last Jedi feedback, and bam! We're already into Han Solo. It's the new age of Star Wars fandom. I love it. We'll be back with you guys next week. Oh, and Minnie Mothins died to bring you this podcast. Woo! It is kind of like a giant chorus of Smurfs singing that song. Oh, man.
It totally is. A little weird. Not gonna lie.
All right, let me stop the recorder. All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.